Hello and welcome back. Today we're going to learn about JavaScript and how we can get your website to do things using JavaScript. In this lesson, you're going to learn about JavaScript and we're going to learn some very basic functions of JavaScript. So, what is JavaScript? JavaScript is a computer language that brings interactivity to otherwise static web pages. We've already looked at HTML and CSS for formatting content. JavaScript is the third pillar of building web pages. Nearly every website on the internet is using JavaScript for some purpose. On a web page, whether it's advertising, user input validation, or some other complex action, it was probably programmed in JavaScript. Up to this point, we have only been using HTML tags and CSS styles to change the look of our page. In this module, we are going to look at how we can use some simple code in JavaScript to make our web page interactive. So let's get started. So the first thing we want to do, like in the other lessons, is we want to open up our website that we've been working on and load up our online editor, Visual Studio Online. So the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to open up my browser. I'm going to navigate to portal.azure.com. And then in this case, it automatically detected the account I've been using. It may prompt you for the account. If so, just go ahead and enter your account information. So I'm going to click on my account. And I'll put my password in. And then like in previous lessons, my online editor is pinned as this main tab right here. So I'm going to click on this little tile, and then I'm going to hit the Browse button, and this will open up Visual Studio Online for me. Now, if your portal doesn't look like this, or if you go to your portal and you don't have that tile on the front, please go back to the earlier videos to show you how you can pin that tile to your main page and access Visual Studio Online. So back over in my editor, it automatically opened the app.css file we were working on, and then we have our index.html file that we've been working on. You'll also notice it'll open this output tab on the right. I don't tend to use this, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the little X right here, and I'm going to close that output tab. So now we can get started. Well, so before we get started, let me go ahead and run the website, make sure it still looks like we remember. So I'm going to hit this little play button right here, which will run the website in a new tab. And there's our website that we've been working on. If we recall, it's our Visit Any Town USA with our navigation, our content, and our how to get there information. So now we can go ahead and get started and add some JavaScript. So let's start with the simplest example of JavaScript on your page. We will add a simple alert that will run as soon as your web page completes loading. So let's open the index.html page. So we do this just by clicking on index.html. And let's add the following onload attribute to the body tag. The attribute tells the browser that when the page has completed loading, run the specified JavaScript code. So the code I'm referring to is in the exercise file. So it's this code right here under the red alert section. So literally, I'm going to copy this code. And again, you can hit Control C to copy if you're on a PC. If you're on a Mac, you could hit the Command C to copy. Or on most computers, you can just right-click, and then you can choose to copy. And if I go back to my code here, and I'm going to paste it right over the existing body tag. So in the editor, the right-click, you cannot right-click and paste like you normally would, but I can still highlight it and hit Control-V to paste it. So again, all we did is we added this onload alert page is loaded. So go ahead and click the run icon in the left-hand column to load the browser or load this page in the browser. And if we did everything right, we should get a pop-up that lets you know the page is loaded. And there it is. There's our alert, our pop-up. The script we put here could be much more complex, but as you saw in the CSS module, putting the code here may not be the most maintainable place to put your JavaScript, especially if it's doing something fairly complex. So other ways to add JavaScript to our page. It is interesting that we just started writing code in our body tag. For a simple interaction, this may be acceptable, but you likely will not want a lot of code in your tags. We have already seen that we can add code directly to your tag, so let's fix our body tag to give us the flexibility for more code. So what we want to do following the exercise file is we want to change the onload function that's in our body tag to just say onload open parentheses close parentheses. Now make sure that if you copy and paste it, that's okay, but if you're typing it out, make sure that that L is capital. It needs to be exactly like that because JavaScript is case sensitive. So in this case, I'm just going to copy the onload function, and then I'm going to replace this alert function in here, and I'm going to put the onload function right there. You are still telling the browser to run code, but now the code is wrapped in a function called onload that is defined somewhere else. So let's add that onload function to our page. And for now, we're going to do this at the end of our head tag. So we're going to make some space right here at the end of our head tag. And if I go back over to the exercise file, let's go ahead and copy from script to script. So it's the script function on load, our alert function, and the closing script tag. So I'm going to copy that, and I am going to paste it right here before the closing head tag, and then I'll just clean up some of the space here. Now let's go ahead and click the run icon to load the page in a new window. You should still see the alert message that we just created. So I'm going to hit run. Yep, and there it says function on load called. One thing you may see in sample scripts that you find on the internet may be explicit and tell the browser that our script is in fact JavaScript. So an example of that can be found right here. So keep in mind that JavaScript is case sensitive. So what this means is that on load and on load are not the same thing. That's why I made sure earlier that you just capitalize just the L. If your code isn't doing what you expected, you may want to check the spelling and casing of your function. The example put the script code in the head tag, but we could also put the script in the body tag. When placing scripts in the body tag, it is a good practice to put all of your script at the bottom of the page to improve page load and performance. Separating code from content. So far, we have put the code right into your HTML page. For code that is limited to being used only on one page, this might be an okay place to put your code. However, if you start getting a lot of code in your HTML pages, they can start to get complicated to maintain. It's better to put these scripts in a separate file and load the scripts into the page when it loads. So let's do that with a script we have right now. So in the code editor, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to close this output window. And we're going to hover over the wwwroot folder. And we're going to click the add file icon, which is this first icon right here. And we're going to add a new file, and we're going to call it appcode.js. And when I hit enter, it will automatically bring me into that file. Next, let's move the function from the head of the index.html to the JavaScript file. Be sure not to include the script tags. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to index.html, and I'm going to highlight the function and only the function. I'm going to hit Control X to cut it, and I'm going to go back to my appcode.js, and I'm going to hit Control V to paste that function there. And I'm actually going to fix the indentation as well. So next, we need to modify the script tag in the head tag to load the JavaScript from our new file. So again, we now need to tell index.html load the JavaScript that's in our appcode.js. And this is done pretty simply. So you can replace the script tag that's there now. So I'm going to delete that. And if I go to our exercise file, let's just copy over this line of code right here. Script source equals appcode.js and then the type equals application JavaScript. So I'm going to copy this, and I'm going to paste that right there. So let's click the run icon on the left-hand column to load the page in a new window. And you may need to refresh the page after that if the alert doesn't work, but let's give it a shot. So I'm going to hit play or run. And what do you know? The alert still works. So again, what this is doing now is your index.html file is loading appcode.js, which is this file right here. And then inside that appcode.js, you have a function called onload, which when the page is done loading, your HTML is calling that onload function. One of the advantages to putting your script in an external file is that it separates your code from your markup. Not only does this simplify your page, it also allows you to reuse the code from one page to another. If you are in the habit of copying your scripts from page to page, when you decide you want to change the functionality, you'll have to change the code in multiple places, which can be challenging to remember where all you copied the code. This would be bad. If you find yourself copying code, you should start thinking about using external files. Making your content dynamic. Popping up annoying alerts is not the best use of JavaScript, so let's take a look at some better uses. First, we will take a look at dynamic content. We are going to start simple and update the content when you click a button. First, let's add a placeholder for some content in the footer. So if I go back to the exercise file, I'm going to copy over this piece of code right here. Open paragraph tag, ID equals timestamp, and then close paragraph tag. So I'm going to copy this code, and I'm going to place it right after the copyright. Notice we gave an ID to the P tag in the footer. This is going to give us the ability to modify that one tag specifically by using the ID. Let's modify the JavaScript code and then look at what's going on. So again, if we go back to the exercise file, let's copy the new function. And we're going to go back to our appcode.js, and we're going to delete the existing one that's there and put in the updated function. So let's go ahead and click the run icon in the left-hand column to load your page. And again, you may need to refresh if you're not seeing what I'm seeing here. So I'm going to run the page. Now, when the page loads up, you'll notice we did not get an alert. Why? Because we removed that alert code from our appcode.js. Next, examine the footer on your page and notice that the content shows the date and time of the page load. Once the document was loaded, we asked for the element that had an ID of timestamp and then modified all of the HTML inside to be the result of the date function. It is important when doing code like this that you wait until the document has completed loading. If the code ran before the footer had been loaded, the code would have executed and nothing would have happened. Events and validating data. So far, we have looked at running code when a page loads. However, there are a lot of interesting things happening when a user is looking at our page. If they are using a mouse, there are events that can set code in motion when the mouse hovers over an element or clicks on an element. If you create a form for people to enter data, you might want to make sure they are entering valid data. Let's add to our web page and see what that might look like. We are going to make a text box that will check that you entered a number between 1 and 10. First, let's add a text box to collect data from the user. We'll add it to the top of our main section content. If we use the input tag, one way we can control what people enter is to use the type attribute. In this case, we will set the type equal to number. For some browsers, this will restrict the input to numeric or hint that the on-screen keyboard should be numeric. So again, we can grab this code right from our exercise file. So I'm going to copy this code right here. Input, the paragraph tag, and the button. I'm going to copy this. And I'm going to go back over to our index file. And I'm going to add this to the top section or just after our section tag. And finally, we added a button to allow the user to submit the value that was entered into the text box. So now that we've copied the code over, let's go ahead and run it. And here's the input box and the button that we added. And so let's try to enter anything in here. So if I hit 1, 2, 3 and I hit submit, nothing happens. I could put letters. Again, nothing happens because we haven't added any functionality yet to this input box or this button. So again, we want to get a valid number between 1 and 10. So if we're asking for a number and someone gave you A, B, C, D, what would you do? Since this would cause an error, we want to add code that tells you whether or not the number is a valid number between 1 and 10. So let's open up the appcode.js and we're going to create a function called checkNumber at the end of the file. Remember, the casing is important. So if you want to, you can just copy and paste it right from the file. So again, I want to add this function checkNumber. And I'm going to add that right there. Next, let's create some variables to hold our data. So we're going to create two variables. One's going to be called the number and one's going to be called the message. Again, I'm going to go over to the exercise file and I'm just going to copy over that line of code and I'm going to paste that in here. So just so you know, a variable allows you to store data inside of there. So the number variable means I'm going to store what the user entered inside of the number, and then the message I'm giving back to them, I'm going to store inside of the message. Now we're going to use getElementID function to get the value of the text box that is entered. So if I go back over to our exercise file, that's this line right here. And I'm going to copy that line and I'm going to paste that right here. So what we're basically telling it now is the number is equal to go out and find an element by the name of small number, which happens to be our input box, and give me the value. So whatever we're entering into this box here is going to go into our variable called the number. Next, we will use an if statement to check the value of the number to see if it passes the check for being between 1 and 10. We will make 3 checks. If any of them is true, we don't need to test any further because it's a bad number. We do this with a logical OR statement. In JavaScript, that's done as 2, then they're called pipes, which I'll show you in just a second. So first, we see, well, let's do this. I'm going to actually copy over the function and then I'm going to walk you through it. So the function is right here. It's this piece of code right here after the number. So I'm going to, again, copy over the function and I'm going to paste that right there. So first we want to check to see if it is not a number. That's this first function right here. So this is basically checking to see, is it a letter like A, B, C, D, or is it a character, a special character like an exclamation point or an at symbol or a hashtag. So if it is not a number, it's going to go right to this right here. The number was expected to be between 1 and 10 because it fails. Next, or this is the or symbol, we're going to say, is the number less than 1? If this turns out to be true, then again, we're going to return this message. The number was expected between 1 and 10. And then finally, we're going to check, hey, is the number greater than 10? And again, if it is true, we're going to return this message. If none of these return true, then it's going to give me the message, the number is good. And then we're going to go find the number message element on the page, and we're going to put that message inside of there. So let's click the run icon, and let's try testing this out. So in the exercise, we give you a bunch of values to test. So I'm going to try the number 1. Number is good. Perfect. Number 10, number is also good. Let's try a letter. So I'm going to put the letter A. Number was expected to be between 1 and 10, so it's working. Now I'll try a zero. Number was expected between 1 and 10. Now I'll try a negative 1. Okay, everything seems to be working. Now I'm going to do a 1, a space, and a 0. So what's going to happen here? Just before you hit the button, think about it. Notice we have a space in there. Number was expected between 1 and 10 because it sees this as a 1 space 0. It doesn't see this as a 1 through 10. So again, everything is working. If everything is working correctly, if you enter a number between 1 and 10, you should see number is good. And if you enter anything outside of that range, you'll get this message right here. Now, going back to the app code, one thing I want to show you that we didn't go over in the lesson is this text right here. So commenting is pretty important in JavaScript coding because it lets you write comments to yourself or other developers so they know what's going on in the code. Now, again, this line doesn't run. This is just comments so that when you're reading through it, you can leave notes for yourself so you understand what it is you did. So I might put up here, these are my variables, etc. It's a way for you to go through and leave notes so you understand why stuff was done. Commenting is pretty important, especially when you're working on a project with other people. So when you leave comments explaining how you did something or why you did it that way, it makes it easier for other developers to work on it. Lastly, when it comes to JavaScript, trust no one. One thing to keep in mind is that just because you use JavaScript to keep a user from entering an unexpected value, never trust that number to be sent back to your server. If a user turned JavaScript off, your code would not run and you can get invalid data. If an evil user used a tool to modify the value after your JavaScript ran, he could potentially send harmful data to your server. Always be careful to check any data that is sent to your server that may cause harm to your application. In this module, we gave you an introduction to three ways JavaScript can be used in your web page. JavaScript covered the basics of JavaScript that is a powerful language and controls all of the interactivity on your web page. We displayed a pop-up to the user. We modified content on the fly by adding a timestamp to the page. And finally, we looked at a simple validation of input by the user. In the next module, we will look at using JavaScript to bring data from other websites into our web page. Thank you.